How many of y'all know that there's a divine nature that we can share in when we make Jesus our Lord and ask him to come into our heart, and then what's in our heart starts to get worked out? The Bible says to work out your salvation. In other words, there's something that's happened in you that wants to be worked out. It doesn't just want to stay in you. It wants to be fleshed out, all right? It wants to take over your life and cause you to be who God created you to be, all right? And cause you to rise up to a divine nature, a higher way of living, to where you're truly in this world but not of this world, all right? We got too many Christians that are sitting in pews every Sunday and they're still of this world, all right? Huh? They still act like the world. They still talk like the world. They still look like the world, all right? But they're not really allowing what God did in them to manifest on the outside of them and take over their whole lives, all right? Come on. And how many of y'all know it's a process, you know? Come on. God's still got me in a process. He's still got you in a process. None of us are all the way there yet, and none of us ever will be until we reach glory, okay? But that doesn't give us an excuse or a crutch to just sit back and do nothing while we're here, all right? Come on. There's more to attain while we're here. How many of y'all know God wants heaven to come to earth? Amen. Huh? It's not just about praying a prayer and holding on till you get to heaven one day. He wants to use you. If you'll crucify your flesh, if you'll deny yourself, if you'll be willing to get out of your comfort zone, he'll use you to bring heaven to earth here and now in the midst of gross darkness. I mean, I know there's all kinds of chaos. There's all kinds of darkness going on, but that is just the perfect time for our light to shine, church. Come on. So let's not shrink back. Come on. Let's step into all the sermons that we amen about not having fear and not having doubt. Let's step into all the sermons that we amen that was all about apprehending the promised land, okay? Let's actually put some feet to our faith and partner with what we said we believed. I know it's crunch time. I know it's hard. I know the enemy's resisting. I know your flesh is resisting. It's resisting me, huh? But it's time to rise to the occasion. It's time to rise to the occasion. It is. This message is about the divine nature that we're meant to rise up to. And it breaks it down and it simplifies it. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 3. And I got a lot of scriptures, man. I'm a nerd for the word, okay? So I'm going to throw a lot at you today. But, you know, if you got to go back and listen to it again and grab a hold of all the scriptures, that's fine. I'm going to try to, you know, do it as plain as I can and as easy as I can. But we need the word. How many of y'all know we need the word? It's the bread of life. Come on, it's our sustenance, it's our nourishment for our spirit, man, okay? But in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I think I'm going to go down to verse 4. It says this, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. You don't just have half of what you need. You don't just have three quarters of what you need, but you have everything that you need through the cross and through the blood, through God's grace, to rise up to who he's created you to be. We have received all of this by coming to know him. Whew. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Man, how many of y'all believe that y'all got a promise in God, huh? Some things that you haven't attained yet, some things that you're still praying for, some things that you're still hoping for. Well, hopefully today you'll understand more about how to apprehend those things. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires, caused by the flesh. In other words, because we have a hope for something greater and we're going after something greater, God gives us the ability. He enables us to rise up out of the rat race of the world, of the fleshly desires of the world, and rise up to a higher way of living to apprehend what he really has for us in his promises. Does that make sense? Come on. How many of y'all know there's a divine nature to rise up to? Huh? We're not meant to act like the world. We're not meant to talk like the world. We're not meant to respond to things or react to things like the world. We're meant to be living according to a higher way. But when I started looking at this, and I've always known that God wants us to take on the new man. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, for if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, which means the old things have gone and the new has come. I've always known that there was a new nature to rise up to, but when I started looking at this again, it's like God just broke it down for me in a simple way, and he had me go back to the fall of man, all right? How many of y'all know that sinful man is in a fallen state, all right? This world is in a fallen state, okay? And that means that we fell from a place down to a place. And when I started looking at it like that, he just showed it to me in a different way. And I want to read this scripture in Genesis chapter 1. So we were at the divine nature. God created Adam and Eve to operate according to a divine nature. They were operating according to a higher way. They were connected to the tree of life, not just the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right? So many people are still playing the game of good and evil. Well, if I do good and I don't do evil, then I'm right before God. Listen, it's not about how good you can be. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But if you focus on life, if you focus on your relationship with Him, then good will just come from your life, okay? It's not about focusing on doing good and not doing evil. That's the enemy's game. That's why he still condemns you. That's why he still has a open door into your life, because maybe you're still playing the game of good and evil and you're not really focused on life. Does that make sense? I didn't even mean to get into that. That's a whole nother sermon. It really is. Huh? But they were operating according to a higher way. And then when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they fell down to another way of living. Okay? They fell down to another way of living. And I want to point out what that was, because it really makes it simple for us. Genesis 1:26, it says this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over." Everybody say over. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything creeping on the earth." So in our divine nature, in our original state, we're meant to be up here, and we have dominion over all the animals, okay? But when we fail, it's like we fell down from a higher way of living and we fell down to an animal-like nature, okay? That's what we've fallen to. So, and when you look at it from that context, you start to see it in a different way, because what do animals act like? How many of y'all got pets at home? Huh? How many of y'all, watch, National Geographic and wildlife and all that stuff? How many of y'all know about animals? Animals operate according to fleshly desires, selfish desires, and just pure instinct, okay? And self-preservation. But it's safe to say that there's a lot of people acting like that out here in the world today. How many of y'all know there's some people out here acting like some animals today? All right? They haven't come above that. They're not back to that divine nature which Christ enables us to rise up to. They're still operating according to the animal-like nature. And animals are all about eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If you do this to me, then I'm going to do this to you. They're all about get-back games, okay? They're all about protecting and taking care of just what's theirs and self-preservation and not really caring about other people and looking out for other people, okay? And there's a lot of people in the world that are acting according to that way. I mean, you see these riots, you see all this chaos and all this craziness going on. That is the animal nature at full fruition, okay? That's the animal nature at full manifestation in man, okay? And see, a man or a human being that is disconnected from God, even though you're more intelligent, even though it doesn't seem as shallow, a man disconnected from God is just the highest form of animal intelligence, all right? You can't go no further than the animal nature being disconnected from God, huh? And the only way you rise up to a higher way of living is by being reconnected to Jesus, who represents the tree of life now, amen? Come on. That's why we're seeing all this. You do this to me, I'm going to do this to you. You talk about me to one person, I'm going to talk about you to five people. Come on. We got a whole lot of gossip going on. We got a whole lot of nonsense going on. And it's all referring back to the animal nature. And like I said, even though humans are more intelligent and not as shallow as animals, we still operate according to an animal nature. Yeah, it might be more subtle. Yeah, it might be more sneaky. Yeah, it might be more deceptive. Yeah, it might be more manipulative. It might be more backstabbing. We smile in your face and then we pull the animal-like nature when we leave, you know? Huh? And we talk about you behind your back, but that's still just an animal. And that's not who we're meant to be. We got to rise up to something higher. Come on, how many of y'all believe that? We got to rise up to something higher. And if the world ever needed the church to rise up to something higher, it's now. It's now. Huh? Come on, it's now. Man, but think about this. In the Garden of Eden, see, Satan had already fell from heaven, okay? He was already in a fallen state. He was already disconnected from the tree of life. So now he's operating according to the animal-like nature, even though he's a spiritual, eternal being. You know? He's still disconnected from the tree of life. And when he shows up in the Garden of Eden, what does he show up as? He shows up as an animal. He shows up as a serpent. Why? Because he can't embody humans that are risen back up to the divine nature. He can only embody animals because he's not connected to the tree of life anymore. He's only connected to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Does that make sense? Come on, but think about this. If you're still operating according to an animal-like nature and you're not rising up to the divine nature, then guess what? The enemy can pull your strings too. The enemy can pull your strings too. But if you rise up to something higher, then you shut the door on the enemy, because he can't connect back to the tree of life. He can only embody animal-like nature. All right? So he shows up as a serpent, and he's slick and he's sly and he's deceiving. He's not shallow like a dog or anything else, but it's still just an animal-like nature. It's still just eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It's still just, if you do this to me, I'll do this to you. It's still just cause and effect, act and react, and not stepping back and discerning by the Spirit and taking time to understand how to respond according to the way God would want us to. Come on. And that's what crucifying the flesh is really all about. This is where the rubber meets the road. That's what carrying your cross is really all about. You crucify that animal-like nature that wants to rise up and just fight back. Fight fire with fire. Fighting fire with fire never helped anything. In Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be overcome by evil, and do not fight evil with evil, but overcome evil by doing good. Come on. Don't just fight fire with fire. And that's what the enemy wants to do right now. It's like he's trying to pit one side against the other. And it's not that this side's right and this side's wrong. Both are wrong, and the enemy will embody both sides and turn them against each other, and so we'll take each other out. Come on, we got to rise up to something higher than that. That's the right side. We got to rise up to something higher than that. Man, I mean, think about this. Let me not get ahead of myself, because I want to make sure that I get out all that I need to get out here, or all that the Lord wants to get out. Y'all think about the scripture when Jesus says, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. How many of y'all know that it's going to take the power of God for me to not act like an animal in that situation? For you to not act like an animal in that situation. Come on. How many of y'all know that it's going to take us being crucified to this flesh, us carrying our cross, to not do what an animal would do in that situation? Come on. The Bible says if someone asks you for a coat, give them your shirt too. Man. And that doesn't make sense to carnally minded people. But the Bible doesn't make sense to people who are selfish and carnally minded, because it's not a selfish and carnally minded word. It calls you to rise up to something higher, okay? It calls you to rise up to something higher. So we all need this power. We all need this grace. We do. Or we can't do it in and of ourselves. We're just connected to the knowledge of good and evil in and of ourselves. We're not connected to life. We have to learn how to crucify this flesh and connect back to the tree of life, Jesus. Isaiah 55 says, the Lord says, for my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. All right? And a lot of times when we read that scripture, we think that God is saying that, you know, we can never rise up to his ways and his thoughts. And I'm not saying that we'll ever have God figured out. There's always more to learn. There's always deeper to go. There's always higher to go. But listen, that scripture is a call to rise up to a higher way, because right before that, he says, let the evil man forsake his way, and let the wicked man forsake his thought. Then he says, for my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, why would he tell you to forsake your way and your thoughts if he wasn't calling you to rise up to something higher? So don't just look at that scripture like it's something that we can't attain, or something that we shouldn't pursue, or something that just gives us a crutch, an excuse to rest on our laurels and sit back and do nothing and stay in a comfort zone. That's not what that scripture's all about, all right? It's about forsaking the evil way, forsaking the wicked way, and pursuing God's ways. Come on, let's rise up to that higher way, man. There's a higher way to operate according to, man. And that's what the world needs in this time. Now, the next scripture that I'm going to quote is Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. And this is a scripture that most of my Christian life, when I read this, and I've been serving the Lord for about 12 and a half years, But most of my Christian life, when I read this, it just kind of threw me off guard. And it's one of them scriptures that I kind of, because I couldn't understand it, because I didn't know what was going on here. And it's a scripture about Jesus and what he said to somebody. And because it just threw me for a loop so hard, I kind of just started to skip over it every time I came to it. You know what I mean? Anybody ever had a scripture like that? It's like, man, I don't understand that. I just got to put this in this box of I don't understand that, and I'll just read the rest. But God gave me some revelation on it, all right? And I really believe he did. And I'm not saying that this is the only revelation on this scripture. How many of y'all know you can get different revelations on the same scripture? The word is alive and it's powerful and it'll speak to you in a fresh new way with whatever season you're at and whatever you're going through. Amen. But Mark chapter 7, listen to this. Verse 24 through 30, it says this. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. Notice that that's the situation. The little girl was possessed by a devil, all right? And she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile woman born in Syrian Phoenicia, notice that it focuses on where she's from and what kind of lifestyle she comes from, all right? Jesus told her, first, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. What? Jesus just called this woman a dog. When I first read that, the second time I read that, the third time I read that, I was like, why is he being mean to this woman? How many of y'all know Jesus never had an intent to be mean to anyone? Huh? Come on. So there's something deeper going on here. And Jesus is referring to the animal-like nature and lifestyle that she comes from. And that's why I said focus on the fact that it says she came from a Gentile lifestyle. She came from Syrian Phoenicia. In other words, she didn't know that there was a higher way to rise up to. She never served the living God. And Jesus didn't say that she couldn't have it, but he said, first, I got to give it to the people that are supposed to be operating according to a higher way, that know that there is a higher way to operate according to. But how many of y'all know that they rejected it and they put Jesus on the cross, and because the Spirit's able to live in us now, we all have the opportunity to rise up out of the animal-like nature and rise back up to the divine nature. But he wasn't trying to be mean to that woman. He just knew that if his people couldn't get it, the ones who knew that it existed and the ones who knew that there was a higher way to rise up to, if they couldn't get it, then how could a person who had never even heard about it, how could a person who came from a totally different lifestyle? Because listen, Jesus hadn't died on the cross and the Holy Spirit wasn't able to live on the inside of us yet. So he knew that she was going to have a difficult time trying to rise up to a higher way. Does that make sense? Come on. And think about this. Notice I said focus on the situation. She was wanting him to cast out the demon from her daughter. How many of y'all know the scripture that says, when you cast out a demon, it goes to a dry and weary land, looking for a place to rest. And when it finds none, it comes back to the house that it left, the person that it left. And if it finds it empty, then it goes and gets seven other demons and it fills the house again. See, what was the problem with that scripture? What's the problem in that scenario? Yeah, we casted out the devil, but that house didn't get filled with anything else. Why? Because it didn't know that there was a higher way to rise up to. It didn't know that God wanted to fill it with his truth. You know what I mean? So therefore, the house was just empty and vacant, and it was just the end result was worse than the beginning. All right, and Jesus didn't want that little girl to end up worse off than she was to begin with. Because listen, we can cast out devils all day long and we can lay hands on people and pray, but if we don't get people's minds renewed and hearts renewed to the higher ways and truth of God, then the devils just come back and the situation gets worse. Come on, we got to disciple people. That's what the Great Commission is. It doesn't say go and get people saved. It says go and make disciples of all nations. That means teach them the ways of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Huh? And if you're not filling people up with something else, then there's no point in emptying them out of the ways of the world, because guess what? The enemy's going to come back and just embody that animal-like nature again. Huh? But guess what happened in that scenario? That woman said, listen to what she says. It's crazy. She has such humility. That's true, Lord, but even the dogs are under the table and are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Good answer, he said. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in the bed, and the demon was gone. In other words, even though that woman came from a lifestyle that knew nothing but the animal-like nature, there was something still on the inside of her that says, man, I'm meant for more than this. All right? And I know if I can just get to Jesus, he's got the answer. All right? I know if I can just get to Jesus, he'll show me a better way. So Jesus recognized that she tapped into the thing inside of her that knew that she was meant for more. And he said, okay, now that I see that you're willing to rise up to a higher way, you can have what I have to offer, all right? And he said, all right, it's yours. Because he knew that there was something in her that was going to continue to seek out and pursue the higher things of God. He knew that there was something in her that was going to lead her daughter in the right direction and not just be an empty, vacant house for the enemy to come back and fill up again and make worse. Come on. That was the situation, guys. That was the situation. Jesus was not trying to be mean to her. Huh? Come on. He was not. Think about this scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Jesus says this. Don't cast your pearls before swine. What's swine? Swine is an animal. Okay? Swine is an animal. Huh? And then it says, for they will trample on the pearls, and then they'll turn and attack you. That's what animals do. How many of y'all ever tried to help somebody and give them some treasures of the Lord and give them some pearls of the kingdom, but they just wasn't willing or ready to let go of the animal-like nature? And all they did was trample on those pearls and then turn and attack you and then turn and slander you. Oh, he thinks he's better than somebody. Oh, she thinks she's better than somebody. And listen, guys, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be out here witnessing. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be out here sowing seed, but that's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit, because the Spirit is the one who knows which hearts are ready to receive or not. Which hearts are at the bottom or not, and ready to rise up to a higher way or not. All right? Come on. Yeah, we need to be sowing seed, and yeah, we need to be witnessing, but we got to understand that certain people ain't going to respond the way we want them to respond, because they're still caught up in the animal-like nature. And matter of fact, we're probably going to get a lot of times the opposite response that we want. But now you can start to understand why. You know? Because they're not ready to let go of it. Huh? Come on. And I'm not saying don't try. But listen, if they're not ready, take what God has given you and give it to somebody who is. Be led by the Spirit. And then when they get ready, at least they'll know the place to come to. You know? Come on. We got to be Spirit-led. That's what this life is all about. Not being led by our emotions and our feelings, but being Spirit-led. Being Spirit-led. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 13. And sometimes I read scriptures and I'm just like, man, that's crazy. That makes me laugh. Huh? Because Jesus was unorthodox. How many of y'all know that? He didn't fit in with the normal religious folk or the church folk of that day. He didn't. How many of y'all know we're not called to fit in? We're called to stand out. We're called to be a light in the darkness. Amen? Huh? He says this. Listen to this. Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 32. At that time, some Pharisees said to him, "Get away from here if you want to live." Herod Antipas wants to kill you, the leader of the government at that time. Jesus replied, "Go and tell that fox that I will keep casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will accomplish my purpose." He called the leader of the government in that day and that time an animal. He called him a fox. Huh? And when I first read that, I was like, man, Jesus is name calling. Heck yeah, I get to be in a crew where we get to call people names. But how many of y'all know that that's not what it was about? He was addressing the animal-like nature that the government was operating according to at the time. And how many of y'all know that there's an animal-like nature that the government is operating according to? Man, there's people, and there's so much things being exposed in 2020, and that's what 2020 is all about, seeing clearly, right? Come on, we're starting to see a whole lot of things clearly. We're starting to see corruption in government clearly. We're starting to see corruption in the church clearly. We're starting to see this racism thing clearly. And yeah, it's messy. And yeah, it's chaotic. But God wants us to have a clear perspective of how messed up our world still is. Because if we don't have a clear perspective, then we don't really have the right perspective to come at it with. Does that make sense? Huh? We're getting clear vision in 2020. It's just not how we thought it was going to be. Amen. Huh? We're starting to see the animal-like nature in every aspect. And it's always been there. Now we're just seeing it. The corruption's always been there. Huh? The backstabbing, the manipulation, the sneaking around, the subtleties of the animal nature has always been there. But now it's just rising to the surface. How many of y'all know when you put something to the fire, when you put gold to the fire, the impurities rise to the surface, man? Come on. Huh? And that's a good thing. It's messy while it's happening. But if it doesn't happen, then those things just remain there, hidden and unknown. But the Bible says in the end that everything that's hidden in the darkness shall come to the light. Come on. Come on. Embrace what God's doing. He called the government a fox, man. That's wild to me. But I see what he's talking about now. And the more I keep reading scripture, the more I see how Jesus and Paul and the apostles, they always referred people that weren't rising up to the new nature. They referred them to acting like animals. I'm telling you, you start seeing it from this perspective. Now when you read scripture, it's going to start jumping out to you in that way. I promise. I promise. And it makes it simple. It makes it easy to understand. Huh? The gospel's simple. How many of y'all know the gospel's simple? The complicated part is just getting undone from the ways of the world and the confusion of the world to where we can just understand the simple gospel. All right? Come on. One scripture, I didn't write it down, but he calls the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he calls them broods of vipers. He calls them snakes. And that is related directly back to the enemy embodying a serpent in the Garden of Eden. Huh? Come on. He says, your father's not God, your father's the devil. Huh? You're a brood of vipers. If your father was God, you receive what I have for you because my father's God. You know? Come on, and I'm just paraphrasing, but that's what that scripture's talking about. Man, brood of vipers. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 31 through 32. Huh? He says this. He says, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. In other words, I used to boast in my flesh. That's what Paul said in Philippians 3. He says, if anybody has a right to boast in the works of the flesh, I do because I was the Pharisee of Pharisees. I was a Hebrew if there ever was one. And I used to take pride in those things. But he says, now I count it all as loss. I count it all as garbage. All right. I die to that pride in me that wants to boast in my own achievements. He says, I die daily. Okay. I die daily. If in the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. How many of y'all know he's not actually talking about beasts? He's talking about people who are acting like beasts, all right? I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? And he was fighting with them about, hey, there's something beyond this temporary life. The dead are going to rise again. The resurrection is coming, all right? And they were fighting with him about it. And he says, if the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. All right, and he says, listen, if there's not something greater to hope for, then let's all just act like animals. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But the reason I die to that, the reason I die daily, because I know that there's something greater to live for, and I'm willing to fight with you about it so you can start to realize that there's something greater to live for, all right? But there's a reason why people are just partying and living it up, because they don't have no hope for a resurrection. They don't have no hope for a better life to come, so they're just trying to act like an animal and live in the moment today, you know? And Paul calls them beasts. Everybody say the word beasts, because I'm going to tie that back into something later. Huh? Come on. They were acting like beasts. They were acting like animals. And how many of y'all know that there's still some people in the church that act like some animals? All right? Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. Titus 1, verses 10 and 12. 10 through 12. He says, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Right there, it lets you know it's talking about church people, those of the circumcision, because circumcision wasn't a thing in the world, okay? It's talking about church people. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching them things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Man, I don't even want to get into a rabbit trail. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts. He calls them animals, lazy gluttons. Man, so he's calling people of the circumcision religious folks. Huh? People that are just staying in their comfort zone and they're playing these get-back games behind the scenes and they're manipulative and they're backstabbing. He's calling them that they're still acting like animals. Even though something happened in their heart, they're not allowing it to come out to the outside. Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. Paul says this, watch out for those dogs. He calls them animals, all right? Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. Right there, you can tell he's talking about church people, huh? For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. That's the scripture I was talking about. I didn't even realize that was in here. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Man, but he says, I die to that. I don't put no confidence in that anymore. I count all that as garbage because I'm rising up to a higher way of living. It's not about religiously doing works and trying to take pride in your own achievements and saying that, you know, this is what God wants. Come on, we don't work for salvation, we work from salvation. We don't work for victory, we work from victory. It's not anything that we can boast about. It's not anything that we can take pride in. We give all the glory to Him. And how many of y'all know that that was the heart of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They just wanted to use the ways and the truth of God as a platform to stand on to rob God from His glory and get attention for themselves. But that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. I'm up here preaching and it ain't me preaching because I ain't smart enough or slick enough to talk like this. This is God. This is God. Amen. Come on. I got a couple more scriptures and then I'll be done. Y'all know when a preacher says that, he's probably not. I don't know. But 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 12. I might read all the way to verse 22, but I might skip a couple. Let me just see how God does this. How many of y'all know the enemy wants? He doesn't just want church folk that have been saved in their heart and not really knowing how to work that out to their everyday life. He doesn't just want church folks still operating according to the animal-like nature, but he wants to put some people in leadership in churches that still operate according to the animal-like nature, all right? That still haven't really learned to crucify their flesh, that are still playing the good and evil game, all right? Come on, he does. He does. Because if the enemy can take out the church, man, let me just get off on a little rabbit trail, all right? When Jesus rode in on the donkey, on Palm Sunday, what we call it, you know, the week before he got crucified, when he rode into Jerusalem, he started weeping over the city, okay? Because he saw the sinful state that the city was in. He saw the sinful state that the people was in. But he didn't stop and deal with the people. He didn't stop and deal with the government. He bypassed all those things and went straight to the temple. And he flipped over the tables. Now, why would he go straight to the temple? Because the temple was the root of the problem. And he knew that because the temple had been infiltrated by the enemy, that's the reason all the problems was going on in the world. All right? Come on. How many of y'all know when the church gets right, the world's going to get right? Because listen, the church used to set the bar and the standard for the world. But now it's like the world sets the bar and the standard for the church. The tables have turned. And when Jesus turned the tables physically in that day and that time, he wasn't just doing a physical thing, but he was saying in the spirit, the tables are turning once again. The church and the temple is going to be what it's really meant to be, and it's going to start setting the standard for the world once again. And that's what's going to help the world get back to the place that it needs to be. If the world is in chaos, it's really because there's hidden chaos in the church. And it needs to get exposed. It needs to come to the light. And it's not so God can condemn us and judge us. It's because God loves us and wants to get us to the place that we're meant to be so we can be who He's created us to be in this world. Come on. Let's turn the tables, man. Let's turn the I got to turn the table in my temple. You got to turn the table in your temple. You got to say no to that animal-like nature, that just wants to exalt yourself and put yourself above everybody so you can get attention. Man, I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it, Come on, but that's not who we're meant to be. That's not who we're meant to be. Man, he wants to put, but the enemy wants to get people in leadership positions that are still operating according to the animal-like nature. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 12, says this. These false teachers, right there you can tell it's talking about church people, leaders in the church. These false teachers are like unthinking animals. Other translations say brute beasts, okay? Creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand, and like animals, they will be destroyed. Their destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. They do more harm than good. They love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. Among who? Among the church people. They delight in deception. They're deceiving. They're sneaking around behind the scenes and doing stuff. Even as they eat with you in your fellowship meals, they commit adultery with their eyes, and their desire for sin is never satisfied. They lure unstable people into sin and are well trained in greed. They live under God's curse. They have wandered off the right path. In other words, they used to be on the right path, but now they've wandered off the right path. They've wandered off the right path and followed the footsteps of Balaam, son of Beor. Balaam was an Old Testament prophet, if you don't know, who loved to earn money by doing wrong. But Balaam was stopped from his mad course when a donkey rebuked him with a human voice. An animal rebuked the prophet of God in the Old Testament. Listen, if you fall down to an animal-like nature and you allow the gifts that God has given you to be perverted by the enemy and be used by the enemy, then guess what? God might use some animals to rebuke the animal in you. Woo! Man, how many of y'all ever been in a fight with your wife or in a yelling at your kids? Let me raise up all, you know. And then your puppy come up to you and start trying to love on you. Huh? Start trying to soften you up. I believe that that's God rebuking the animal in us because we're acting like animals in the moment. Does that make sense? Come on. Huh? And listen, guys, how can we call the world to rise up to a higher way of living if the church itself is still operating according to the fallen nature, according to the animal-like nature? We can't do it. We can't do it. Man, let me just continue to read on there. These people are useless as dried up springs. This scripture's tough. Or a mist blown by the wind. They are doomed to the blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting. They still boast. They still rob God from his glory. With an appeal to twisted sexual desires, they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the way to righteousness than to know it and reject the command they were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb. Listen, a dog returns to its vomit, and another says, a washed pig returns to the mud. That's what animals do. Right there, it ends up talking about the proverb of animals always go back to the mud. Dogs always return to the vomit. Huh? Come on. We got to rise up out of this animal-like nature. We got to rise up and really be who God's created us to be. We got to know that there's a higher way to operate according to. Huh? We got to crucify this flesh. We got to crucify this. And thinking about dogs, how many of y'all, like my daughter has a mixed German Shepherd. And he's been the only dog in our house for a long time, okay? But there was a time that my daughter wanted a Husky. So we tried out a Husky, but how many of y'all know Huskies are crazy, man? It didn't last long, all right? but as soon as we got that Husky, guess what? Shadow, the mixed German Shepherd, he started to get jealous, huh? He started to try to let that Husky know that that was his house. But that Husky was a little bit bigger than him, so that Husky let him know real quick that he was going to run the house, you know? But then Shadow went into this, like, state of depression, all right? He went into this sad phase, and he was sad that he wasn't getting all the attention now, that he wasn't getting all the love now. Anybody ever seen some people act like that? Come on, in church. I'm telling you, man, and I've acted like that, man. There's been times in my life where I was jealous because somebody else got to preach and I didn't. Or I was jealous because somebody else got to play the music and I didn't. I was jealous because somebody else got to do the Bible study and I didn't. How many of y'all know that that's the animal-like nature? Come on. We got to know that that's not how we're meant to operate according to. We got to know that we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord and we're all one in the Spirit. So if you get to preach, then that's me winning. If they get to do the Bible study, that's me winning. If they get to be the one that sings the music, then that's me winning too, because we're all one and we all need to cheer each other on and we all need to be for each other. We don't need to be jealous of one another and backbiting and gossiping behind each other's backs. That's the animal-like nature in the church and it has to die. Come on. Let's not let that stuff win. Huh? And how can we release something different into the world if we're still caught up in it and we don't realize it? God's exposing some things. He's revealing some things. Let's capture it. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's hard. But it's going to get us to where we need to be, man. I promise. In Jude chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, I'm not going to read it, but go read the book of Jude. It's just one chapter. It all refers back to the animal-like nature and how people in church are still operating according to it. But remember how I said, you know, say the word beasts, all right? How many of y'all know in the end, the enemy's going to try to get us to take the mark of the beast? Huh? That's the mark of the animal-like nature. Huh? Come on. And here's what's going to happen. The world's going to be in chaos. The world's going to be going crazy. There's going to be an emotional situation. Emotions are going to be at an all-time high to where people are just reacting and not discerning and responding to how God wants us to respond to things. They'll just be reacting like an animal. They'll just be eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You did this to me, so I did this to you. And because they're not rising up to a new nature and stepping back and being able to discern the situation and not doing what the animal wants to do, but doing what God wants to do, it's going to cause them to have a knee-jerk reaction and take a mark, take something. It seems like a real solution, but it's a false solution to a real problem. Huh? And it's going to cause people to just fall into something that they're not meant to fall into. All right? So that's why it's so important that we learn how to rise up to a new nature. Because if we don't learn how to rise up to a new nature, then if we're still acting like beasts, if we're still acting like animals, then guess what? We're more prone to take the mark of the beast in the end. Because that's how the enemy's going to do it. He's deceiving, huh? He's slick. He's the slyest of all animals. You can't outsmart him if you're just connected to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's his playground. That's his realm. You got to rise up to something higher or you're going to fall for the foolishness. Because that's what's going to happen, man. I really believe that. Huh? There's going to be real problems. There's going to be chaos. Huh? And it's going to cause everybody's emotions to be in an all-time high, and we'll just do a knee-jerk reaction and do what the government tells us to do or what animal-like people tell us to do. And it sounds good, it sounds smart, it sounds right, but it's really causing us to fall into something that we're not meant for. Man, let's rise up to something higher, guys. It's important. It's important. More important than we realize. And how do we rise up to something higher? By getting down lower. Come on. Huh? By getting on your knees, by getting in the prayer closet, by saying no to this flesh, by saying no to what your desires and what your emotions want to do. And I'm not saying turn your emotions off. The Bible says that Jesus moved with compassion. In other words, his emotions weren't turned off, but notice how it says he moved with compassion. He wasn't moved by compassion, he moved with compassion. He was moved by the Spirit, and he moved with compassion. Does that make sense? I know that sounded like I was talking in circles, but come on, grab a hold of that, man. I'm not moved by my emotions. I move with my emotions by the Spirit. Come on. Man, we got to have compassion for one another. We have to have those. God gave us our emotions, but the enemy wants to pervert what God has given us. And he wants us to use them for all the wrong things and still operate according to the animal-like nature, deceiving others and deceiving ourselves, thinking that we're doing the right thing when we're not. Man, I never thought in a million years when I came out of the world and came into the church that I would now have to figure out who's really operating according to the higher nature and who's not. I thought once I got out of the world, I was there. I was in, you know? Huh? But when you first get into the church, that's just where it starts. That's just where you start to learn how to take what happened on the inside of you and allow it to work its way out. That's when you just start learning how to crucify your flesh and say no to this animal-like nature and come up out of that stuff. Huh? Come on. And we see these concepts. There's these paradoxes in the kingdom. I don't mean to keep rambling on. I'm just going with the flow. There's these paradoxes in the kingdom that says, you know, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you shall be saved. And I believe that once you have that encounter and once you pray that sinner's prayer, that you are saved, all right? But then there's also scriptures that say those who endure to the end shall be saved, all right? And it's not that one's right and one's wrong. Both of them are right. You're just as saved as you can be when you first pray that prayer, but you still got to walk this thing out. You still got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, all right? You still got to endure to the end. You can't rest on your laurels and get in the comfort zone and just allow Jesus to stay in your heart. He doesn't just want to stay in your heart. And listen, God is so super big that if you can just contain him to your heart, I would question whether you had a real encounter with him. Come on. I can't contain what he's done inside of me because he's a supernatural God. Huh? Man, both are right. We try to make one right and one wrong, and then we get in that animal-like fight about it when both are right. Man. Well, last scripture, Revelation 22, verses 14 through 15, it says, and this is talking about when Jesus comes to restore the earth, 1,000-year reign. I don't know what your all's theology and doctrine is on that, and I'm not going to get into it, all right? But sometimes I'm still figuring it out too. All right, but I know that this is what this scripture is talking about. It says, blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city, the new Jerusalem that's coming down from heaven, and eat from the tree of life. In other words, they're connected back to the higher way. Outside the city are the dogs, the animals, all right? The sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshipers, and all who love to live a lie. Man. Huh? If you're still acting like an animal, man, you're on the outside looking in. You really are. Notice how it says sexually immoral, man. And I don't want to get into that because I know there might be kids watching. But think about dogs again. When it comes to their sexuality, they don't care to do whatever with whoever in front of whoever. All right? Huh? And they're not monogamous about their relationship. They have no idea of commitment and sacrifice and covenant. All right? They have multiple partners and all this and that. But when I look at people in the world, I see them acting the same exact way. Come on. Huh? They're acting just like animals. But we're called to rise up to something higher. We're called to enter into covenant. We're called to be committed. We're not called to just do whatever in front of whoever. We're meant to take those things and have them be special behind closed doors with one other person. All right? Come on. Come on. Don't act like animals, man. That stuff's going on in the church too, and I don't even want to call it out, but God is wanting to get the church cleaned up. Because if the church don't get cleaned up, the world ain't got a chance.